What is your name?
Baby.
Your name's Baby. B-A-B-Y, Baby.
I'm man popping, y'all!
God, I think I love you.
That's too bad.
It will be a planet of apes.
I had no father. I was brought to life by Zeus.
Well, that's neat.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
Hey, I'm still Chris.
I'm sorry, folks. He's still here.
But we made more friends, Travis.
Nah, it's too late for that.
Nah.
I'm getting old.
You've only got room for X amount of people.
Okay, so we're back. We're actually going to just kind of... how can I put it? We're going to kick it freestyle on this one.
Yeah! Chicken.
Because we weren't really planning on this episode per se. Like, this is kind of we're kind of winging it this mm-hmm. episode.
But not to say it isn't quality. Well, everything pop culture is quality. So
that we need to put that on it. That's a tagline.
That's
right
a
there.
Tagline right yeah. there? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Put an asterisk. A big asterisk next to that.
And on the bottom says, nope.
Quality subject to change.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. Hey, I think we got a winner.
There we go. All right. So, actually, before we get started with this one, just a quick message out. One of the reasons we were kind of delayed on everything is Hurricane Harvey came through. Man, we made it out okay, fortunately. But, man, that was...
not everybody.
No, not
as fortunate as we were.
And not everybody we knew. But yeah. People we knew got affected by, mm-hmm. by the storm pretty bad. So, yeah, we were actually able to get together for Houston Wrestling Radio. You brought me back.
Oh, that other show.
Nah. Yeah, you brought me
that's
back.
That's quantity.
For,
this yeah, is quality.
There you go. I like that one. Yeah. So anyway, we did a show on that one. And because the people on that show couldn't. Yeah.
That was literally like 2 days after the hurricane was completely out of the area. And people were still stranded. People were still yeah. flooded. People had shit to do.
Yeah. So
last minute kind of thing. But now. A couple of people are still flooded. I mean, some of the neighborhoods, the water's still rising. Attic's reservoirs, they're still leaking it. So they're not people in that area aren't going to be able to get into their homes until next month.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. There's been a lot of advertisements, commercials, this and that for donating relief funds for hurricane victims. Mm-hmm.
Red Cross, the mayor's got his own fund. Our friend, our boy J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans already hit 18 mil.
18 mil, yeah. What's the, it's like.
youcares.com/JJ, something like that. We'll make sure to post a link in the description.
Youcaring.org. Yeah. But if you do a search for J.J. Watt Foundation, mm-hmm. there's a big banner right when you go to this website. Mm-hmm. You click on that. 100% of what you donate actually goes towards, because he takes care of all the fees and everything else, and it's just straight up. You're donating straight to the relief funds.
He had a warehouse full of like pallets of stuff, all kinds of stuff. And that one, he said none of that was from the money. That's all from separate donations of corporations, of other things collected. Yeah. He hasn't even touched that money yet. Yeah. So they're working on the primary is getting all the stuff that's donated, like food and clothes and stuff like that, to get spread out across the people. And then the secondary part will be how we're going to divvy up. Right now it's at 18 million. Might even be higher than that before this month's over.
So this is all to you guys that got affected or anything by the storm. Hang in there. And hey, if you're listening to us, we're here going to give you a good time, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll do our best.
We do our best.
Yeah. If again, not, try again next episode.
Again with the asterisk.
Yeah.
again with the asterisk.
So speaking of which.
Yes.
If it weren't for the hurricane, I probably would have added a few more movies on what we're going to do tonight.
Okay.
Because tonight we're doing a summary of the summer in review 2017 movie blockbusters.
That's right. Every year for Pop Culture Rewind, at the end of the year, we do a big year in review type thing. Mm-hmm. Figure let's just jump the gun a little bit. And because the summertime obviously is the biggest time for movies. So we figured, hey, there's a lot. I had just a page full of movies that I wanted to see before the summertime even started. Mm-hmm. And I saw most of them. Some of them I didn't get a chance to see. Some of them I will get to them, but I didn't get to see all of them. But I saw quite a few. And I know for you...
Pre-tape, I told you, hey, let me count down the movies I've seen. I scratched my head. I was like, wow, I saw 7, which is kind of a lot more than I normally would.
Yeah, that's a lot for you.
That's a lot for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I there's a theater by my apartment complex in the greater Fifth Ward area, and apparently Fifth Ward has always had this tag attached to it that it's like the dangerous part of town, so nobody ever goes out there.
Yeah, they tell us about that growing up.
So yeah, so there's a nice theater like maybe 5 minutes from my apartment. They just renovated, nice plush leather seats, reclinable, reserved seating, and I catch a lot of my like Marvel movies the night before, the Thursday before. Right. They're there 7 o'clock, and there's never people there because again, it's a ghost town. People are afraid to get shot or flood, depending.
Hey, wait, you told me it was safe.
You fell for it, but you're comfortable enough that you keep going because apparently I've got you hooked on it.
I've been there twice, sorry. it was nice because we go to a movie theater that it's the same brand,
Cinemark.
The one that we go to that's close to my house, there's no, it's just straight up digital seating. Digital.
It's old school.
Yeah, more or less. More or less. Conservative, yeah.
Yeah. Conservative, that's a good one.
But it's. I mean, it's a nice theater, but they don't have the bells and whistles of some of these other ones that have. Like, I don't have the XD or the recliner, the lounge, luxury lounge, whatever it's called. I don't have any of those. So I have to go out of my way either to that one or another one the opposite direction, the same distance.
Oh, wow.
So we've been to both of them, actually.
Yeah.
But because that first one that you told me about, that was, oh, that was fun. You know, I got the little recliner button on the chair. There's a wall behind each chairs, so you don't have to worry about someone kicking your seat or anything like that. And it's spaced out. There's only a few rows. I mean, it's not that many seats in these houses. And it makes it a nicer environment. You don't have to worry about all the riffraff coming through.
Which we used to be when we were younger.
Yeah.
And it's cheap as fuck. I used to run by my apartment. That's why I told you should give it a shot.
First showing Sunday mornings. It's like $5 or something. It's dirt cheap.
The Marvel movies that I normally tend to catch before the Thursday before the general release date or whatever, $7.
Yeah.
And it's not that crowded, so I don't have to worry about selling out or going. What I would do sometimes the night before, I would go to the theater on my way home from work, and I would buy the ticket a day in advance, but they wouldn't charge anything extra. It's just that.
Right.
And it's calm. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah,
in there.
Yeah, we're
in there,
and we've been there. We've been there twice already, and we went to the other one once. But the other ones, if it's like a regular release movie, I'm not too hyped about it. I'll just go to the one I normally go to. Anyway, so enough of that. So, all right, for the summertime, I'm going. We're starting in May, okay? Because about the middle of May, because the middle of May is when people start trickling out of schools, and that's when the summer movies start dropping week in, week out. And that's what I had on my list. Like, there was a movie that I wanted to see every single week up until, like, mid-August.
Yeah, I saw the list.
And I didn't see all of them. But the first one on my list that I actually did see, I was getting kind of hyped up for it. It was Alien Covenant.
Oh, yes. Tell me about Alien Covenant.
Now, Covenant was the sequel to Prometheus, which is the prequel to Alien. Mm-hmm. Prometheus did leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, so I was kind of about it. But I was seeing the trailers for this movie, and hey, man, you know what? For all intents and purposes, they threw in a xenomorph. You saw that in the trailer. Mm-hmm. You saw an old-school-looking alien with this slobber, second mouth, all that stuff, you know? So I was like, okay, you got me on that one. I'm going to go see it. And it is what it is. It was an alien movie, you know? There was some good parts to it. I did enjoy it for the most part. Before we continue more, and you know, I always have to do this.
Oh, spoiler alert!
There's going to be spoiler alerts in this episode. So if you haven't seen one of these movies, you don't want to be spoiled. Just kind of skip around a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, on this particular movie, there was a really kind of a long sequence in this movie towards like the probably the third act, maybe a little bit half the arc. When Michael Fassbender's character, there's like two different versions of him in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to teach himself something. But he's teaching him how to play the flute. And this thing goes on and on and on. And it just drags the movie down. Because before that, you get your, these types of movies, you have like a group of people. You know they're all going to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they start getting off here and there. And it's a gory movie. It's, there's some explosions. There's some killings. There we see not a traditional chest bust, you know, like we normally see out of an alien movie.
Mm-hmm.
We get a back buster. He comes out of his back. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. So if you're into the Alien franchise, you probably have already seen it. But if you haven't, you know Ridley Scott, for some reason, he's trying to take back control of his franchise that he says he created, even though he didn't write the original. Well, whatever. He directed the first one, but now he's directing these. And this is a nice continuation from Prometheus because it picks up. There's some tie-ins to Prometheus,
yeah.
And a lot of this takes place. I kind of wish there was some more connections. Like, the chick that was in Prometheus, she played Elizabeth Shaw, Numi something. That was the character's name, Elizabeth Shaw. Anyway, she gets, spoiler alert, she gets killed off sometime in between. She lives, she survives Prometheus.
And then she's dead.
We don't see her, you know? It's kind of reminding me of between Aliens and Alien 3, where they all got away, but the third movie starts and they're all dead. You know, it's kind of like that. Yeah. So it had that kind of, you know, bad taste in my mouth, you know, for that. But overall, if you like Aliens and you like seeing xenomorphs in action and you like the killings and everything, go check it out. And it does, I found out watching this is part two of a trilogy.
So there's one more.
There's one more that's actually going to officially tie straight into the first Alien movie. So,
yeesh.
Ta-da. So, that was the first one that I saw. Real quick, there's two more that came out in May that it was on my radar, but I ended up not watching it because the second it came out, the reviews were already in the tanks for both these movies. And I didn't want, and I was like, you know what? The reviews are that bad across the board. I'm not going to waste my time. One of them was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ah.
The Dead Man Tell No Tales. See, you already forgot about it, didn't you? It's like the movie's already poof, gone. It's already, you know, everybody's already forgot about it. This franchise is already dead, but yeah, they keep trying to.
Debt needs money.
Yeah, right. Shit. And then the other one was Baywatch.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I think we've had this conversation once or twice before. Name a bad movie that has Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it.
Apparently, Baywatch.
And apparently, this was it. And even then, I want to Redbox it so I can have my own opinion because you can never really rely 100% on
Craig's opinions. It's all subjective.
Yeah, it's all subjective. But, and again, I was a fan of watching of David Hasselhoff in the beginning when the show first came out and Pamela Anderson running very slowly in the 36.
And I got the gist of what they were doing. They're poking fun at the old series, and I took that as, oh, they're doing 21 Jump Street.
I
like 21 Jump Street.
And 22, not as much, okay, but it was a decent follow-up. Okay.
They had to make a sequel on it, so they did.
And even then, they poked fun of the fact that they had to make a sequel and the thing was across the street and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking that this was going to have the same reaction that 21 Jump Street did, and it didn't, and it failed miserably. I'm like you. I'll probably Redbox it or something, but I still haven't got a chance around seeing it. Because everything I'm seeing, I think like Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron, I think it looked like they had some good chemistry going on. But I think it was part of the humor. A lot of people were saying the humor is too much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, okay, so we're on the same page on that one as far as Baywatch goes. Now, that being said,
there was another movie that came out in May.
Oh, there was? Okay, go.
Yeah.
Do tell. Do tell.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Ah, was that in May?
Yeah.
Ah.
May 5th.
I'll be down.
All yeah. Right. Whew. It's going to be hard to top the first one. You know, the first one was really, really good. Teaser alert, I guess. We're going to be talking about the first one in our future episode. Phase 2 of Marvel Universe. We'll get into more details there. I liked it a lot. I think my only nit to pick, it kind of falls into that Marvel role now where like the sequels and stuff are starting to get a little bit formulaic.
A little bit.
Just like people would easily say A New Hope was a carbon copy of
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens was a carbon copy of A New Hope. I kind of figured Part 2 was going to be a carbon copy of Part 1.
And it was, for the most part. They knew it worked in the first movie, and they just hammered it in over your head several times. That's the thing that bugged me more than anything. Okay, I get Groot is cute. I get it. You know, I am Groot. Okay. So let's make him a kid. Let's make him a little baby Groot, and that's going to be even... All the merchandise you can sell.
I'm surprised that was actually still Vin Diesel's voice.
Yeah. There was that, and then there was...
Drax the Destroyer just laughing at everything.
Oh, my God. Okay, I get it, but I mean, Jesus.
It, for me personally, it was great to see Dave Bautista, a pro wrestler, have that side of entertaining in him, because watching him on wrestling television, he was never like that. So I didn't know he had that kind of humor or charisma in him to be this way. But in the movie itself, by the end, you're like, all right, shut the fuck up, Dave.
And not only that, not only he's laughing, but he was more of a cartoon character. I think there's one scene where his nipples were sensitive or something.
Oh, yeah, it's chafing or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, come on now. Yeah. It was too much. And then I think, I know a lot of people love the ending of this movie, but to me, it kind of...
Mary Poppins, y'all!
Okay, that's the tag. That might as well be the tagline for the whole movie. But, like, spoiler alert, you know...
everybody dies.
Pretty much. Well,
yeah. Damn Thanos.
Yeah. But it was kind of a somber ending with the funeral and everything, and it just it didn't go out with a bang. It kind of went out with a whimper for me.
Yeah,
I don't. And then
it depends what side you look on, because if you're looking at the tail sign where it's negative, and you say, yeah, it ended all somber, people that will find the good in that scene will be like, holy crap, they put together the original freaking Guardians team to help celebrate the life of Yondu or whatever, and then the bonus scene of them talking together and maybe doing something spin off on the side of the original Guardians, you know?
But here's my problem with that.
Go.
Before Guardians even came out, nobody knew who the fuck Guardians of the Galaxy was, so why should I give a shit if this other Guardians of the Galaxy comes in and...
You mean you don't want to see Sylvester Stallone and Miley Cyrus and a couple other people that have no idea who the fuck they are together in a movie? Making that Disney money?
Yeah, straight to video, please.
As if Miley hadn't made enough Disney money.
Shit. Is she going to be that one?
She's a voice of one of them. One of the CGI characters, Resident? Yeah.
Wow.
I learned that reading through the credits. There was like five bonus credit scenes.
Let's not forget, in this movie, this is a Disney movie, and they were in a brothel.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Disney's growing up. One day they'll like Jews.
No. Don't get silly now. Don't get silly. All right, so there's that. Anything else for me? That's all I had.
I think that's it for me.
Yeah. But June kicks off with a bang. Warner Brothers finally hits it off correctly with DC, and they unleash Wonder Woman.
Define correctly. Would you think home run or grand slam?
I'd say probably grand slam.
Really?
I think so.
It was that good compared to the rest of the black and gray and shadowy smuck that we've gotten within Suicide Squad, Man of Steel, and Batman vs. Superman? Okay. That's three.
Here's this. Here's my thing. With Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, all those movies, you kind of had to defend them if you liked them. You know?
That's a great way to put it.
You have to, like, say...
But oh my God, Jared Leto! Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you have to... Like, yeah, you're in the minority if you like those other movies, and you have to defend it against the mass audience that didn't like it. But Wonder Woman came out, thankfully, it was universally praised about how good this movie was. I enjoyed it. I think the only thing that I could say a con about this movie, a bad thing about this movie, was the final sequence, her versus Ares, which it turned out to be another... typical, there's a beam in the sky, fire, you know, you have to... It got really dark. It got, like, Zack Snyder-ish, like, towards the end. Like, I couldn't tell what was going on. And
that's my only
gripe. But everything else worked flawlessly in this movie for me. The scenery, the setting of the time where they're at, and her chemistry with Chris Pine. It paid off at the end.
Yeah.
And it still... It was bookend with present time stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I thought it they knocked it out, except for that final battle.
Oddly enough, starting the movie with the conversation with Bruce Wayne and Diana Prince, and then ending the movie with the same tone.
Right.
Even with that, this felt like a good standalone movie.
Oh yeah, it was.
You know,
yeah,
and that's the one thing that I was surprised at the most. You know, I kind of knew with the trailers going into it that there was a lot more color than I was used to with a Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah.
As far as like the real universe movie. But I was surprised that it was able to, that you could not watch anything else. Mm-hmm. And mind you, those three movies before gives you plenty of reason to not have to watch anything else again.
Right.
You can watch that on its own from its start to its finish, and that's its own meal. That's its own story. And you don't have to, if you never watch another DC movie again, that'll still suffice. Right. That from start to finish, that's a damn good Wonder Woman movie.
Yep.
And the only issue left after that is not just with the Justice League franchise in general, but Wonder Woman 2, it's going to be hard to top.
It that. Is. They set the bar pretty high for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I know some people, I was watching like Kevin Smith and things like that, and they're like, well, why don't you just keep doing them like period pieces? Like maybe part two, you're in Cold War era or World War II or something to where mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to...
The Agent Carter treatment.
Yeah. 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 It works, you know. I was actually was surprised to see Ares, like God of War Ares at the end of the movie. But... yeah, and my only issue with this movie is a lot of the a lot of the feminists try to make it a bigger deal than what it actually was. It became a big social media, social justice type thing, and I try to stay away from all that. I try to enjoy it just on its merits of its own, you know.
In the back of my mind, it's kind of hard for I could understand why people made that reach.
Hmm.
When is the last definitive female superhero movie that has been out that was successful?
I have to get back to you on that one.
Elektra? Catwoman?
Supergirl.
You know, and other than like, you know, like Spider-Man's like the most merch selling
right.
in Marvel. I'm sure Batman and DC, you know, for all the kids, you know, because Harley Quinn and all that stuff. But I would think Wonder Woman, especially in fashion, you know, everybody wants to wear the Whataburger shirt. I mean, the Wonder Woman shirts and all that. It's a big costume seller. I mean, you would think.
Why was there not a crossover and promotional deal with Whataburger and Wonder Woman?
Imagine the backlash that women would have if Wonder Woman was as bad as Suicide Squad, Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman. The backlash that those movies got would have been nothing compared to the feminism war that we would have got if Wonder Woman wasn't done justice.
But fortunately,
it was.
Yeah. So, and you know what? I saw it with my wife. My wife loved the movie.
It's a definite chick flick, and I didn't mind it at all.
And she, yeah, I think it's good for both guys and girls. You know, that's just me.
It's Gal Gadot. Of course, it's gonna be good for guys,
right? I know.
In a planet full of Amazonian women, of course, it's gonna be good for guys. It might have been wearing a little bit too many clothes, but
that's another
conversation. Yeah. Can't win them all.
You want to up the ante on part two? There you go.
Wonder Woman, Twin Peaks.
Oh. and that's, you know, that's amped up my wife's anticipation for Justice League.
Oh yeah.
So now she's wanting to see that one.
November. Are you ready for November?
Getting there. All right. So that was Wonder Woman. DC finally knocking out of the park on that one. All right, now we take one extreme high, and then we go the very next week later to a very low. I'm talking about The Mummy.
You spent money on The Mummy?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's good. High three on that. Yeah, but good lord, poor Tom Cruise couldn't catch a break if he dropped Glass.
Man, fuck Tom Cruise. All right,
which is funny because I actually am interested in watching his movie, The American Hero, where he's the pilot for the drug smugglers.
American Made.
Yeah, that actually has my attention.
Yeah.
That week, I'll probably watch that movie.
Probably, yeah. But this movie, this was just doomed from the start. As soon as I heard this Universal Studios, like Universal Monster Cinematic Universe, they're trying to do, which was supposed to start with Dracula Untold, but it really
failed
didn't.
Digitally.
And now this was going to be it. And they're bringing in Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde into it. And it's going to do all these different things. And it just felt so rushed and forced. It just fell apart before it even started. And the one person that I would think would be grateful about all this would be Brendan Fraser.
Oh,
because,
poor guy.
No. Hear me out. Because before this, Brendan Fraser wasn't really doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody was talking about him. But as soon as his Mummy was coming out, people...
Where is he?
Where's Brendan Fraser? Where is he? And I knew that this wasn't going to be another Mummy movie from his franchise. I knew this was a reboot type thing. But apparently a lot of people weren't getting that gist that this was a whole new thing. Even though the Mummy was a chick now and Tom Cruise was in it, but whatever. I don't understand why people kept thinking this was another Mummy movie, but and I think this whole Universal Studios thing, Universal Monster Cinematic thing, I think this is
it's doomed to fail.
Yeah, it's doomed. I don't even think they're going to continue it, honestly, because the next movie was I think it was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and that's not even gonna come, that's not even slated to come out until like 2020, I think. Mm-mm. I mean, it's they're Marvel, they are not.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it like that. You can't just keep starting and stopping. I saw those reviews coming out, and I just passed on it. And I still have yet to hear anything good, positive thing about it. Did you watch it either?
Oh, no. Okay. No. Those movies, sadly, that those movies don't get my attention.
Okay, what about Cars?
That is a movie that does get my attention.
Okay, Cars 3 came out a couple weeks after that, or next week, whatever.
It's the next week after that.
I have not seen this one yet.
So heathen!
Go ahead. Tell us.
All right, so basically, long story short, what Toy Story 3 did to reinvigorate the franchise and maybe kind of put like a nice little exclamation point on the entire series, assuming there wasn't going to be a Toy Story 4, so apparently that's coming out in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Cars 3 did not as good of a job, but did a very presentable job of tying this off and going to the next generation. So apparently Cars 3, Lightning McQueen, there's an upstart. I don't even know. It's going to be completely different to comprehend this because it's a hybrid machine or some car, Lightning Jackson, that's taken over, and he's the new Lightning McQueen, and Lightning's getting old.
It's the young upstart trying to take.
There's this personal trainer car that's gonna try to get Lightning McQueen back into shape, and they do like fucking dirt track racing, like the figure eight, the suicide racing. And it turns out that the little trainer car, she had a dream of being one day in the race, and she dreamed to be like Lightning McQueen. So like the finale, Lightning McQueen's in the race, and he's like, man, I don't need to prove anything anymore. So they painted the chick up, and they threw the chick in there, and the chick actually beat Jackson. And so now if they do Cars 4, it's probably going to be just like the roles were reversed. The old man, the old Hudson Hornet, was Lightning McQueen's coach in the first movie. Well, now Lightning McQueen's going to be the team captain, the crew chief for the chick. I forget who it was, but it was Rosario Dawson that was.
So thumbs up, two thumbs up.
Oh, I fucking loved it. I'm waiting for it. It comes out on DVD, I think, in a week or two.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. So if you're in the Pixar franchise, you know there's I don't know if there's any bombs in the Pixar franchise, but I guarantee you, Cars 2 probably was. Cars 3 is not. And the best part about it, you don't really need to have seen Cars 2. To like Cars 3.
That's what I heard. Which is a good thing because Cars 2 was shitty.
Yeah. Making a James Bond movie around Larry the Cable Guy.
Speaking of shitty.
Uh-oh.
And speaking of the next week after that, Transformers, The Last Knight. Where do you want to go with this one?
I left my theater scratching my head with this. There's like, man, there's stuff I like. And then there's stuff that I didn't like, and then there's stuff that I didn't understand why it was there.
Neither did anybody else.
And it's weird, like, every movie that, like, I went and saw the, it was an Optimus Prime time, so it was like Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah.
And it got free shirts and the passes and the lanyards, and I took my nephew there. And, you know, after every movie, you ever get up and do the standing applause and like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Dude, that movie was finished, and half the crowd just got up and left. The other half sat there going, what the fuck did I just watch?
I would have been at the latter half of what did I watch?
My nephew's autistic. I didn't want to tell him it was a bad movie. I was like, hey, what'd you think? He's like, oh my god, Hot Rod, and oh my god, it's like Optimus and the new Bumblebee. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And I dropped him off, and as soon as I was in the car by myself, I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? Enough about me. You, what was your first impression when the credits rolled and that was I thought that was it, but there's more. Apparently.
I think he summed it up pretty good. It was confusing. Like, there was probably three movies in this one movie. It was all over the place. When I'm talking all over the place, I mean, like, the first act of the movie, like, just drops off. And, like, you don't see these characters until, like, the last 20 minutes of the movie. The kids, like, the girl and the Autobots team. You don't even see them until the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then it totally goes in its own different direction. It's in the UK and we get some history with Anthony Hopkins.
We went from MTV to BBC to fucking like the last half felt like a legit Michael Bay movie.
I don't know. It was all over the place. Like I can't even describe what I saw. Like, okay, the big marketing thing on this was Optimus going evil, the purple eyes, and attacking Bumblebee. That was a big thing that we saw in the trailer.
And before we went to the theater, I didn't read any spoilers. I was like, I was actually as optimistic as I was when the first movie came out, to be honest.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah. I think Optimus, Dark Energon, Hot Rod as a Lamborghini Centenario. It's like, yeah, give me Optimus versus Bumblebee. Give me.
I think
like this would be a great if the, you know you. I'm always the guy that says if you want stuff to be like the old stuff, just watch the old stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna give me an updated version of the Transformers movie, where instead of Hot Rod becoming Rodimus, Bumblebee becomes the new leader, and mm-hmm. he has to sacrifice Optimus to do it.
Right.
I'm optimistic. Give it to me. Show me how it's going to work. Half the damn toy store sections are clogged with Bumblebee Transformer toys anyway. You know that's the next guy. That's the general.
The next movie.
That's the next movie is a straight up Bumblebee Origins movie.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic. Show me what you're going to do. And boy, did they show me how not to do it.
Yeah. This whole movie, like.
Optimus, my mom's name is Martha too. Okay, that's it. That's all it took for Optimus to be like, oh, okay. Like,
what the? He almost, Optimus almost went on a killing spree for like 2 seconds. Then yeah. Bumblebee just talked to him for, which he wasn't supposed to have his voice. Like, that was another thing. His voice has magically reappeared just in, for him to tell him that. So that was just one thing that this whole marketing thing was done, poof, punk, done yeah. in like 5 minutes. I don't know, everything else. They're trying to like throw things in there for like no reason other than I guess to,
hey nerd, you remember this reference? Yay!
Exactly, yeah. that's Cogman. He's a headmaster.
Into what?
Exactly. We don't that's all he says. He's a headmaster. If you're a Transformers fan, you know what headmaster means. His head comes off and it's his own little robot. That's the thing. Nah, we didn't see any of that in this. Mm. I don't know. That's just one reference that I can think of off the top of my head.
One of many.
And then they try to do this whole elaborate history of Transformers being on Earth, and they had like different eras of them. The one cool thing I'll say was there's a scene of Bumblebee in World War II fighting Nazis.
Yeah.
Fuck, give me more of that.
At this point, anything against Nazis, it's approved.
But he was like a grayish-bluish color. Yeah. He had a fucking Gatling gun in his arms and shit. Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's probably
this is honestly the first movie out of all five that I probably won't even bother picking up. There's definitely no incentive for me to rewatch it unless you cut down like an hour and a half of it, because this was like 2 hours 30. It was supposed to be one of the shortest Transformers movies. It felt long because there was no direction, and it didn't feel like there was really an ultimate payoff.
Oh, dude,
it.
You forgot one thing. You said it felt like a Michael Bay movie, but it also felt like
watching BBC.
MTV, BBC. You also forgot one more thing. Suicide Squad. When they bust the Decepticons out and they had their little freeze frame names and shit. By the way, what are Decepticons doing robbing banks?
I don't know.
That, for the life of me. How they get arrested? How they get in jail? Like, I don't understand any of what was going on in this thing.
Rule number one on pissing off Transformers fans, don't give us one combiner that forms into Bruticus just to kill him off and we don't even get to see the rest of it to put together.
Yeah.
Like, no. 20 minutes in and already strike one.
We never got the answer we were looking for. Why did Galvatron go back to Megatron?
No.
I will say Megatron looked badass though.
That's that jet mode.
Besides that, this is the robot, everything,
the Viking helmet with the horn. And
everything looked badass on Megatron. But other than that, this is Michael
Bay's.
Effects
wise, it was probably the best of all five. The story behind it was probably the worst of all five.
It rushed because the whole new writing team. We talked about this in another episode. But a whole new writing team just destroyed whatever they're trying to do with this thing.
Yeah.
And they've already disbanded. This was supposed to be the start of a new Hasbro cinematic universe.
Everybody has to have a universe.
Thanks, Marvel. But because of this, they've disbanded. That writing room is gone.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So let's jump over to the next week. This movie took me a while. Because, I don't know why. I had a lot of shit going on. But apparently, there was something called Baby Driver.
And who kept telling you to go see this movie?
Some old white man that just barely leaves the house was telling me, Dude, Baby Driver. What the fuck about Baby Driver? He's like, God damn. I went and saw Baby Driver. I was like, I owe you. The opening scene with the Subaru WRX STI Impreza. Oh, man. This is a good movie.
Dude,
it was fun.
Dude, come on. It's got cars and music. Two things that defines you. And I would think that you would be like just.
I love the payoff of the music.
Yeah,
Not just the mom's tape though. The kid, his mom died, and he has the last tape of his mom performing music. But oh my god, this dude's been recording all our conversations. We're supposed to be robbing in like in secrecy. They break into this kid's house, they steal all his tapes, and they pull out one, and it's of Kevin Spacey's, like the conversation at the beginning of the movie is like, "Are you slow?" And
he made a mixtape
of it, and everybody's like, the chicks are like, "I want to fuck this guy," and the dude's like, "What the fuck's up with this guy?" And Kevin Spacey's like, that's why I got this guy. Like, everything made sense, but still, like...
He's got to go.
There was a great... Edgar Wright did a great job telling a story from start to finish. You know, normally, like, when people build up car chase movies, I'm expecting, like, half of it to be behind the wheel.
Right.
You know, so when I get... And especially a bad example of that was Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof. There's a badass chase in the beginning when the Chevy Nova killed all the white bitches in the other car. And then there's the badass last, like, 25 minutes of Zoe Bell on top of that Challenger, and then all the girls try to get him. But that was about maybe 20 minutes worth of car movie in about an hour and 45 minutes of straight-up pointless dialogue. It's hard. Like, literally, like, make me a condensed version of just them in the cars. That's it.
Normally, I would read you the right act for bad-mouthing Quentin Tarantino, but... That is his worst movie, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that's his. I think he said that that's his least favorite movie that he's made. Yeah. So, I can't pass on that one.
The car chase scenes are quality, though, in that movie. But this Baby Driver connected everything together. Right. This felt less like Death Proof and more like Drive. Did you ever watch Drive?
Which one is that one?
With the guy from La La Land.
You're thinking of Driver?
No. Yeah, Driver.
Yeah. No, I never saw that one.
No, Drive.
Is it called Drive?
Yeah, Drive.
Okay.
2011.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
It was Ryan Gosling. Yeah. There was a great car stuff in the beginning and in the middle and the end, but the story was very good to keep you hooked to the next scene as far as the car guy goes. Like, if I were to tell a car guy, hey, you need to go watch this movie, I'm not showing them fucking Death Proof. I'm showing a Baby Driver. And again, the soundtrack is awesome, dude. Time stuff is like, no, don't get out yet. Now, you know, it had a great flow. That movie from start to finish.
That was the whole point of the movie. You know, it choreographed the music with the scenery, what's going on, perfectly, and the soundtrack itself was good too. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was fine in this movie. I was pleasantly surprised because I wanted to go see it just because it was Edgar Wright. That was my main reason for watching it. But it's a really good fucking movie.
Did he leave... I'm guessing this is too far. He didn't leave Ant-Man to make this, right?
I'm not sure if he left it for that, but... Yeah, that was the next. That was going to be his next movie, but it turned out to be this one. Yeah. So.
Yeah, two thumbs up for that one.
Yeah.
Big fan.
God, I mean, I told you, man, that opening scene. That opening scene with...
They actually... There's a website franchise that I frequent called Gawker, and they have a lot of sub-sites.
Mm.
Jalopnik, the Cars Guy site, they posted... Or somehow they shared the opening chase scene in the movie. They shared it for free. And I refused to watch it because you told me I need to watch this from start to finish at the movie theater. And I'm so glad I did.
No, bitch, I even sent you the link from YouTube.
Yeah, and I still didn't watch it because I was like, no, dude, I want to experience the whole thing clean. So I waited.
And I was like, all right, well, shut the fuck and go watch the movie already. Because by that point, it'd been like 2 weeks, and you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are you waiting for? Cars and
music, what are you waiting for? I was like,
I still don't understand it. Okay. All right, so Baby Driver was definitely a thumbs up for me. Next week, July 7th, we had Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be higher up on my list. Two thumbs up for me, for sure. Mainly because of Vulture and Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Because I was already expecting a good movie, and they delivered. So I wasn't blown up, you know, it didn't blow my mind because I was expecting it to be good, and it was good. I can't remember if we discussed this on a previous episode or not, but they finally, with Tom Holland as Spider-Man, they finally combined a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man.
Our build-up podcast to Spider-Man Homecoming. Where
we mentioned we were previewing Homecoming. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tom Holland, again, just like he did in Civil War, I think he did just as good in this movie as well, too.
I think the shocker that came to me, no pun intended, the shocker for me, like just like you, it's Marvel, it's coming off of Avengers Civil War, you're expecting it to be good, hell, I'm expecting it to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Where it blew even my expectations, the way the payoff came at the scene where Michael Keaton's character, the Vulture, is driving Peter Parker and Michael and the Vulture's daughter to the prom, and that's where everything starts clicking. It's like, oh shit, this is Spider-Man. Oh shit, this is a Vulture. And they like try to keep calm while the girl's in the car, and then that father son talks like, you know what happens when you take the panties off my daughter? I'm gonna kill you, motherfucker. He's like, God damn, dude. There was a collective gasp in the theater when everybody realized, when everybody in the scene knew who each other was, it just went off, dude.
Well, just even then when he walked up to the house and rang the doorbell, he opened the door, everyone was like, what? And
yeah.
Because I didn't know, seriously, like, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And then we find, and people were like, as the scene is going on and on, people are, you can start hearing people, you know, start giggling. Yeah, start giggling here and there. Like, oh shit, this is fucking happening. And then the car scene, just the awkwardness and tense, intensity in that scene.
Yeah.
Because Michael Keaton is a scary mofo just in general.
Yeah.
He can be when he's playing a bad guy. And he's got the voice.
There's something when in his stern, in the stern Michael Keaton, where you're intimidated.
Yeah.
He can pull it off. Still, at his age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, man, he knocked, I mean, and plus, dude, they made Vulture badass. Like, that costume, the helmet, the gear, like, that first shot of him, like, from the ground up, and he's coming down.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a fucking money shot, dude.
That Air Force fighter pilot mask, tubing and everything. Oh, yeah.
Did you even catch, like, because it's Marvel, they did, like, the Iron Man HUD screen, like they did with, you know, how Tony Stark is inside the helmet. They did the same thing for him, too, a couple times, but it was, like, night vision types. Yeah. So, stuff like that. It works. I like this, this agreement.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours a bit with Sony.
With Marvel and Sony.
Hopefully that extends out to Fox.
Oh, God, I hope so. I think, you know what? I think it's too far done with Fox. I
think Fox has already tied it off, too, because X-Men, their next movie's in, like, in the 90s, mm-hmm. right? With the Dark Phoenix. Logan, which came out earlier this year, which could have been my pick this year so far, but it's not in our summer picks because of time. That's in the future. That's like way past. That's like 2020, something like that.
2024.
Yeah, 2024. So right now with the Avengers timeline, even that wouldn't work anyway. Maybe Deadpool. Maybe.
Did you hear? I saw. We're veering off here for a second, but I saw. You know, the next movie you just said is going to be Dark Phoenix Saga, right? Mm-hmm. And they shit the bed on Last Stand when they did Dark Phoenix last time, right? Mm-hmm. They grounded it and tried to make it all. You know. Apparently now, they have the opportunity to do it right. You know, because they know what doesn't work. So. Go intergalactic like you're supposed to, right? And bring in all this other shit. No! Apparently you're going to do Grounded just like they did in Last Stand. Mm-hmm. And it's the fucking same screenwriter as Last Stand, too. Ugh. So it's going to be the fucking repeat of the worst...
It's a remastered edition.
Of the worst fucking movie of the whole franchise.
The movie that created the entire reboot to begin with First Class.
That's got to be... that's got to be on purpose. That's got to be a fuck you to Marvel. Like, we still got your rights, motherfucker. And here's what we're going to do with your precious franchise. You telling me they can't not do that shit on purpose? The fuck out of here.
Oh,
fucking Fox.
God.
All right, enough of that. So,
was there anything the week after that?
All right, so the week after that, I got War for Planet of the Apes.
Ooh, did you see that?
I sure did.
How was it?
It was good.
Yeah?
Okay,
go
so
on.
Here's the thing. I loved the first one, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice reboot of the story of what happens and everything. The second movie that came out, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, to be honest, that's kind of a weak movie for me. Like, it's not very memorable for me. I remember certain things, about it. I remember Kerry Russell was in it. there was something about a dam that they had to stop from. So I remember parts of it. They had to get electricity and shit, but I don't remember all of it. So it kind of fell flat. I remember, they had a revolt in the apes. Koba, he shot Caesar and he started a war against the humans and this and that. I forgot about that. And I was watching this movie, and this movie kind of is the result of that movie.
Okay.
But this movie is really good. I mean, I was under the impression that this was like
the end
of the trilogy, right? And I'm going to kind of spoil some things for you here. But first of all, this continuation for part two where the humans are still tracking down the apes and they're trying to kill them off. The first scene, human soldiers are walking in the jungle and they got the helmets on, they got the monkey killer and everything else written on their backs. It's a cool visions of everything, visionary. But the thing is, that what goes on in this movie is now they find out that the humans are now de-evolving to apes tests. Like you get infected. And now they can't talk, and they start getting dumb and shit like that.
Oh.
So it's not even just killing the apes for survival of maintaining being the top species. Now they're fucking dying because the virus that infected the apes to make them smarter is now making them dumber. So
this isn't a documentary,
right? We're getting there. But the movie, it works very well. Woody Harrelson's as a villain, he plays it fucking. He's a fucking villain. Trust me. I don't want to say too much what happens, but Caesar, you know, he maintains and he gets his people, I guess. Mm-hmm. His apes. He gets everybody, his family, away, and he gets them off to the promised land, I guess, mm-hmm. if you will. And it leads right into kind of where the setting is at for the original Planet of the Apes from 1968. So it kind of ties back into the original series. And there was a lot of call-ups. There was a girl the apes found. She can't talk, and they give her the name. She has a little Chevrolet Nova emblem, mm-hmm. and they call her Nova. If you remember the original Planet of the Apes movie, there was a captured woman. She couldn't talk or anything. This one, she can't talk. Full adult in that movie, and she's captured, and her name is Nova. So it all ties into that. So they could actually end the series where it's at, or they can start actually remaking the original series.
So don't forget the 60s version. Forget the one that they did with Mark Wahlberg.
Ugh, forget that one totally.
And retell
you can
it.
If you want. Because there was other things that tied in that haven't paid off yet. In the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the first one, they mentioned the space shuttle that takes off to Mars. It's supposed to be going to Mars.
Oh, okay.
And remember in the original Planet of the Apes,
that's the plane that crash landed on the planet. Yeah.
Right. That one hasn't come back down yet. Ooh. It's still floating out there. So they could continue and have that payoff with that space shuttle come Icarus, I think that was the mm-hmm. name of it. And that crashes down. And you can have that. You could remake that whole series if you want. So this series could keep going with technology that we have now and we're kind of redoing it. And,
okay.
So if you haven't seen it yet, I definitely recommend War for the Planet of the Apes. It is really good. That whole franchise is ballsy because there's like scenes. There's like minutes, like 10, 20 minutes of scenes of subtitles with apes like signing each other, you know, language. And mm-hmm. So you're reading. So a lot of that, you know, wouldn't necessarily pay off, yeah. you know, depending on your fan base. But it works. Like everything works.
Which of the movies, I remember this for a while, where one of the guys that did motion capture, they were petitioning him to get an Oscar nomination because
Andy Serkis,
yeah, he's the Claw in Avengers, right?
Yeah, he's
supposed to be in Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's in the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, so that it's that good.
Yeah, Andy Serkis again. He knocks it out of the park again with this one, and he can keep going. I mean, it's special effects. I mean, shit. But yeah, if you haven't seen War of the Planet of the Apes, go and definitely check that one out. Okay. So by this point, I'm kind of getting burnt out of going to movies every week.
So is your wallet.
Yeah, so is my wallet. So thankfully, the next movie had a movie that was coming out that I wanted to see, like, big IMAX 3D, because I knew the movie was probably going to suck, but I wanted to see the visuals of it, and I never ended up going to see it. It's Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. Did you see this one?
From the moment that I heard that this story... Mm-hmm. is where the inspiration from the original Star Wars, A New right. Hope, I was going to give it an optimistic chance. And just like you, I wasn't going to half-ass this one.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think I saw this before you did.
I never saw it.
You never saw it? Mm. Woo! Nelly. It's pretty.
And that's all I hear about it. Like, it's pretty and that's it.
Now, that being said, I'm sure a lot of this crowd probably got that same ape poison and became stupid because they might not have been paying attention. This is a very well-told story from start to finish. If you ask me about it today, I might be a little hazy about it because I've drank a lot and the hurricane hit here. So a lot's happened. But I do remember giving this movie high marks for the storytelling between Dane DeHaan and the, I forget the girl's name that's the co-star.
Enchantress from Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Kara something. I can't remember.
Rihanna was not annoying. At all,
I heard Rihanna is probably one of the best parts of this movie.
Her character played to her strength. She's a stripper, you know, but she knows how to dance and she like shapeshifts into whatever the dude wants her to be. So and then at the end, they want to redeem her because she feels like she has more to offer. And it was a really good movie. It's a shame that it wasn't as successful as it could have been mm-hmm. because I would have wanted to see more. But
well, this was just a passion project for Luc Besson. Or yeah. Beck,
Besson.
Yeah. Besson, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who he wanted to make this movie like 20 years ago, but the technology wasn't there for it.
Yeah.
I think it was Spider-Man Homecoming. I saw that in XD, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was Spider-Man. They played like the first like six. They played the opening scene of this movie in mm-hmm. that, and where they talk about how the cultures come together, all the different aliens yeah. come together. So they got my interest. Like I wanted to see it off that, but the reviews started coming in, and I never got a chance to go see it, honestly, and it dropped out of theaters pretty fast.
You know, too. for movies nowadays that you have to have twists and turns.
It bombed in the box office.
For all these movies nowadays that you have to have twists and turns, and you have to have 18 different swerves, otherwise people are going to be like, "Oh my god, it was too straightforward." Sometimes if you tell a story right, a straightforward story is a good story, and that's what this was. Straightforward story like Guardians of the Galaxy, the first movie. If you're a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, the visuals, the start to finish story, you can relate to a lot of the characters in this movie, you know. And again, I'm surprised it wasn't as successful as it could have been, because good lord, you intimidation wise, you would want to watch it in IMAX, but to say that that's the only hook in this movie for to make you want to watch it, it's an outlier.
The hook to get you was the visuals. But when you got in there, once you got the hook from the visuals...
My hook was the whole Star Wars thing. Where if this is supposed to be comparable to Star Wars, I'll give it a chance.
Well, this was from a graphic novel back in the 60s yeah. that inspired elements of like Star Wars and different things. Yeah. So, but other than that, like no one's even heard of Larian.
Yeah.
Like it's a French comic from the 60s, for God's sake. I mean, yeah. And that's the thing. I think that's another thing that hurt it. Like the title was what the fuck, and then the two main actors, like nobody's like they're not.
You have to have been a movie person to know who either or both of these guys were. If it weren't for the Metallica movie or Amazing Spider-Man 2, I had no idea who Dane DeHaan was. Mm-hmm. And you just reminded me. I knew the chick looked familiar, but you just reminded me it was the Enchantress from Suicide Squad, and I don't know her by name.
Yeah.
So it would have to have been a lot. For casual people, let alone casual people to watch a sci-fi movie, because not a lot of casual people will go watch a sci-fi movie. It would have to take a lot to get enough people to watch it for it to make what it could have made.
And here's another problem with this. I said I'll go watch it next week. What came out next week? Atomic Blonde. And that took priorities.
At least they're on. I think that's what happened with Baby Driver, because I was falling behind on movies, and it was Spider-Man 3, and then it was a couple of others. And that's where I wound up making
time. And you still haven't seen Atomic Blonde yet, have you?
I still haven't, no. As a matter of fact, with Hurricane Harvey, I was off 3 days. If there was a theater open one of those days, I would have probably spent that entire day watching two or three movies that are on this that you've seen or that have just come out that I haven't had time to see because of weather permitting. Logan Lucky, I'm a huge NASCAR guy. You know, there hasn't been a pretty decent NASCAR movie. Not decent, but entertaining since, like, Talladega Nights with Ricky Bobby, which was fucking hilarious. And if this draws from it, I want to watch it. Atomic Blonde's another one where Charlize Theron and not Michael Fassbender, the other guy.
Yeah.
Professor X.
Yeah, Charles McAvoy.
McAvoy.
No, not Charles. Fucking.
McAvoy, yeah.
No, what's his first name? James McAvoy.
James McAvoy.
Jesus, fuck
Charles.
I was thinking Professor
Charles.
X.
Yeah.
I was thinking, yeah, Professor X. You said Professor X, yeah. Okay.
As of now, Pop Culture Rewind is calling him Charles McAvoy.
No, we're not. okay, so this movie...
I never got to see this, so you take the lead. How was this?
Okay, so a lot of people, and I could tell just from the trailers, it was...
fun.
Well, it was going to be fun, but it was... taking a cue from John Wick, and this was one of the directors from John Wick directed this movie,
mm-hmm.
and you could tell the fighting choreography in this was fucking amazing. It was intense, and Charlene gets the shit kicked out of her like at the end, the last act of this movie. If you don't want to see violence against women, don't watch this movie.
Oh, not that I condone it, but you got my attention.
She holds her own.
I know, yeah. So yeah. Like, apparently the
but it's, gotta, but it's very violent. But yeah. The thing is, the setting of this is fucking beautiful. It's like, it's in Berlin, like 3 days before the Berlin Wall comes down. And this reminded me of watching Baby Driver, because the soundtrack is like part of the movie.
And I remember the trailer had a remix of Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Personal Jesus, I think.
A lot of 80s Euro rock pop music is in this movie. So if you like that that genre, if you like a lot of the artists from the 80s for the Euro.
Depeche Mode, New Order.
New Order. I think Queen might be in there too. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of good, like you'll, 99 Left Balloons.
Nena?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a song from a European artist in the 80s. It's probably in this movie somewhere. But yeah, dude, it works so well in this movie. Charlene Theron, she plays a spy. I'm not going to lie. It does get, there's a lot of twists and turns because she plays a spy and she's trying to.
So she turns often.
Double agent, triple agent. I don't want to say too much, especially for you who haven't seen it. So, but anyway, if you haven't seen Atomic Blonde, definitely go check it out. It's fun. All right, so there's that. That's all in July. Now we're going.
Oh my god!
Now we're almost done here. Okay, so the next week after that was Dark Tower, which
this was supposed to be a sequel, but it was maybe a prequel or what? Would you...
No. This was Dark Tower based on the books and the graphic novels from Stephen King. I have never read anything with Dark Tower.
Neither so have I. And I was telling me Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey are in this. I'm giving it a shot.
And that's what I was thinking. But again, dude,
reviews
has killed it, man. It bombed like 10, 15 million in the box office. And
that's another one that I'm watching on my own.
Yeah, to give this my was own supposed judgment. To be like a start of a franchise, I think. But they tied it all into one movie, and nothing got flushed out. It was just all contained in one movie. And I think a lot of the hardcore audience that liked that franchise just kind of shit all over it. So I didn't see that one. Okay, so the week after that, there was a movie that I was not planning on watching, but I ended up seeing it, and I do not regret it. And it's probably one of my top five of the summer. It's Annabelle Creation.
You are a huge horror guy.
Yeah, more or less.
Sci-fi horror. Yeah. So I'm surprised that you weren't going to make an effort to watch this movie.
I love the Conjuring movies. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the best modern horror franchises out there.
And this is a sequel, right?
Well, this is a sequel to Annabelle, which Annabelle was a spinoff of Conjuring.
Yeah.
Annabelle sucked. nobody, ask anybody, they'll say Annabelle, whatever. Because it wasn't even... needed to be made in the first place. This movie came out, I was like, they're making another one, I guess, by the same writer as the first one. But then the reviews started coming in. I was like, and I'm hearing good things about it. And then the week before it came out, or like a couple days, it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The fuck?
And I was like, that's what I said. I was like, okay, maybe we'll go check this out. So there's a Tuesday... I took my wife. We went
$5 movies Tuesday night. Oh yeah, play
over at Star Cinema.
Yeah,
and went there, and the theater sucked. It was a bad experience for the theater, but the movie is really fucking good. Because I'll tell you why. It's just a straight up old school horror movie.
Slasher? No,
not even. No, it's kind of the thriller suspense. It's got your It's got your jumps and your scares where they need to be. And
Children of the Corn, kind of.
No, not really.
No,
it's your haunted type situation with demons involved and everything else. And some of the visuals of what goes on, it tripped me out because there's a couple of things that they showed that I wasn't expecting. And it for me, seeing as many horror movies I've seen.
It's hard to scare you because you've seen it. You think you've seen it.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things that maybe you kind of like jump back. So they got me in a couple spots. And if you can do that to me,
that's a win.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. So if you haven't seen Annabelle Creation, I definitely recommend it. Unless you're not a horror person, then even if you're not, go check it out because you'll get a kick out of it.
Okay.
Or you'll piss your pants, whichever.
extra pants. Noted. Okay.
Great. So that brings me to the last movie on my list.
I think that's the last movie on my list, too.
It came out, mid-August, but we're already, because of the hurricane and everything, we're so behind. Mm-hmm. Hitman's Bodyguard. Mm. I just saw this yesterday. So this is a fresh take for me. I enjoyed it. It was what it was. It was a movie starring Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson doing what Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson do. They talk a lot.
A lot of shit.
Yeah, it's like a lot of shit. And that's all you need to know about watching this movie. Story was kind of okay, but what do you think? I mean,
man, I forgot the actress's name that was in the jail, the Mexican chick.
Selma Hayek.
She has such good boobs.
She's always had them. Yeah.
Oh my god, though.
She still has them.
Woo.
Yeah.
This is
like what she's known for.
This is a definition of a chick flick that a guy is not ashamed to say he saw, because both of the stars' motivations were done because of women.
True.
So this is a movie where you can tell your girl, hey, you know, these guys are to do things for women to make sure that show them how much they love them, how much they care.
Actually,
this kind of reminds me of how the marketing, not directly with the marketing, but how you could market Deadpool as a chick flick and the chicks would be like, oh, look, it's so hot, it'd be so nice. And then the guy in there is like, oh my God, it's fucking Bob, you know, like we would know stuff like that.
Well, here's the thing. Both Ryan Reynolds and Samuel, more or less Ryan Reynolds, has such diverse fan appeal to men and women.
Yeah,
that's all you need to get both to get a man and his woman into a theater at the same time to see this movie.
Yeah.
Just on that alone, I think the women are more for Ryan Reynolds. I think the guys are more for Samuel L. Jackson. And then Salma Hayek, because I knew she was in it, but damn. Whew. And then you have Elektra from Defenders. She was the main, and she did a good job in her role too, I thought. But yeah, it was a good movie. It was enjoyable. My wife liked it. She thought it was a good laugh. So,
as far as action goes, this I would hold this up to like any Transporter movie.
I guess
it was I'm not saying it as a derogatory. I mean, I love the Transporter movies.
I know what you're saying.
You know, the action in this,
but
the car chase scenes and everything. I love, dude. I was a huge fan.
I didn't think that the chase scenes and all that stuff was all that.
Like, what?
The only thing that I got a kick out of, I guess, was the there's one scene where Ryan Reynolds is fighting that one goon in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in and he's in a tight kitchen area, and the camera, you can tell like the cameraman's back there with him, and he's and he's going back and forth with him. It's kind of nauseating a little bit, but
yeah.
It was a fun effect for the scene, but the chase scene specifically, I don't know. It wasn't
your cup of tea?
No, it felt weak, I guess. I don't know, a little bit lazy.
Hmm. I think it was the chemistry between the two guys throughout the whole thing that made everything better.
Yeah, it is. I'll give you that. And that's a whole selling point. And that's the whole reason that me, and I'm sure a lot of people, wanted to go see it in the first place, was because it had Ryan fucking Reynolds and Samuel fucking Jackson in this movie. That's all you need to sell a movie.
Yeah.
So, I think...
That's it.
I liked it, you liked it.
There is, well, besides Logan Lucky, I mentioned that I wanted to watch. The last movie that I would have really wanted to see, which I'm sure most damn near anybody that listens to this show has already seen, but they redid Terminator 2 for 3D visuals.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
But that came around the time where I was out of town for vacation, and then I came back from vacation, like, oh, hey, by the way, hurricane. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And now we're still recovering from the hurricane, so it's like, nah, if I miss it, I won't lose any sleep.
Yeah. So the only thing that's actually really coming up, is Stephen King's It. Mm-hmm. Where Dark Tower failed, I think it will do pretty good. I'm not expecting it to do like box office, you know, breaking the bank or anything, but I think I think it'll do decent. It's about time we finally get an actual It movie, because the only thing that came out before was a lot of people don't know that was a miniseries for TV. It wasn't an actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, this is the first It movie, if you want to break it down like that. But we'll give it a shot and see, you know, how it comes out. I'm going to watch it.
I want to watch the first Kingsman movie so that I can be ready for the Golden
Circle. Oh, you haven't seen Kingsman? Oh, yeah, definitely go check that one out. I think the second movie is going to be just as good as the first one, because I think it's the same people that did the first movie.
Yeah.
So
the next week after that, American Made, Tom Cruise, pilot for the Narco Traficantes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The week after that, Blade Runner 2049.
You see, here's the thing. I think, this is an unpopular opinion,
mm-hmm.
but I think Blade Runner, have you seen Blade Runner?
No.
Okay. I think Blade Runner is an overrated movie.
Really?
Don't tell me that. You haven't seen it. You just told me you haven't seen it. Every time I try to watch it, I fall asleep. I think it's just overhyped for the sake of nostalgia's sake. And the fact that it's Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford, and you lose track of
what you'd prefer watching. Total Recall?
Well, fuck yeah. Who doesn't like Total Recall?
Geostorm comes out October 20th. Every year we have to have one of those End of the World movies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's see. Thor Ragnarok, November 3rd, obviously.
Yeah. Oh. Like, I'll buy my ticket right now. Where can I go to get those?
If you were a fan of the first movie, the sequel, Daddy's Home Number 2.
Yeah.
No? That comes out the 10th. The 17th, obviously, Justice League. Coco, November 22nd, from Pixar. The whole Day of the Dead, where the kid uses his guitar and he transfers worlds from the dead.
Yeah,
from the
dead. I don't know.
Pixar, I'm going to go in there with open mind. And then
they should give royalty rights to Conan. He's Team Coco.
Yeah.
And he joked about that on one of his monologues once.
And then we end the year, December 15th, Last Jedi.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder if that's going to do good. oh, you said Justice League, right?
So, yeah, Justice League.
Yeah. Justice League and Thor, that's going to make November for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a good year for movies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Good summer. Really good summer. There was just a few cons with a lot of good pros for the movies that came out. That's not including the movies that came out before the summertime, which we'll probably revisit this if we do a year in review episode mm-hmm. down the road. But
yeah, we missed a couple. January had I love this movie, A Monster Calls. Liam Neeson's the whole like tree
monster. Did you
finally
watch it?
Yeah, I finally watched it. Logan was in February. Chapter 2 of John Wick. The Lego Batman movie was also in February. March was Logan. And then Kong Skull Island was also in March. Power Rangers
seen,
at the end of the month.
Have you seen all these?
I have the rest of the year to do it. Now that it's at Redbox, I could probably do it.
Oh, by the way, Chris, I started to watch Power Rangers.
Uh-oh.
I fell asleep halfway through.
Not surprised.
The movie sucks.
This is going to be the most optimistic review I'll give you.
The movie sucks.
This is the most optimistic review I give you. If you can make it past the hour, if you fast forward the hour and 15 minute long Krispy Kreme commercial, the last 20 minutes is a legit 1990s sit down on Channel 26, watch the episode of Power Rangers. That's the feel you're going to get in the last like 20 minutes. So if you watch this movie again, or if you find it on the internet with whatever friend you have to assist you to find it, fast forward to the last 20 minutes of this, and you'll be like, oh man, why didn't we just get this from the beginning? And of course we don't, because when you want to build a franchise and you have 8 movies planned, the first one you're gonna have to flesh out
this
a lot
is not
of crap.
Going 8 movies.
I doubt it. I would kiss the sky if it actually made it at least to part 2.
What, you want a part 2?
Well, they ended teasing Tommy.
Oh.
Actually, the comics has a good right now. The Power Ranger comics has a good version of an evil Power Ranger. It's like an amalgamation of like 3 or 4 different designs.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Okay, we got it. Now that's not a summer movie.
Eh,
dude.
Oh, right. We'll save it for later. Yeah, this podcast went about 45 minutes more than we thought it was going to go.
No, I was counting on an hour. We just passed up the hour mark. So,
okay.
I think on that note, I think we did a good job.
Yeah, we did okay.
So, if you know, I like to say this all the time, but you can find us at facebook.com/popculturerewind.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can follow us. Where can you follow
us? On the Twitter machine, popculturerwnd.
Yeah, because I don't do anything on Twitter anymore. So, if you see me on Twitter, just follow me, and you might see me pop up every once in a while. Instagram, we're on there. iTunes for audio downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Also, at popculturerewind.com is where all our episodes are as well, too. You can download them through Podbean also. Or, again, if you subscribe, they're available on iTunes. So do us a favor. Give us a rate and review. Tell us how we're doing. We definitely appreciate it. Find us on YouTube also. We do have exclusive videos on that, which has been kind of slow also, just because it's kind of time-consuming.
Yeah.
Making those videos and, yeah. Getting kind of tired.
All that blood, sweat, and effort to put up there just for it to be banned in 68 countries within the first 24 hours.
I got a copyright notice today, actually.
Oh, Lord.
From one of our first videos. It's like 2 years later, and it's
damn
weird.
Germans.
And it was from Germany, too.
What?
So on that note, thanks again for tuning in. And always remember to pop your culture.
Mmm.
We have guests! What's the matter with you?
Oh, shit, my bits are falling off.
Idiot!
What the hell?
Good, good.
Master, he's a complete knucklehead.
I'm awfully sorry about that, but, you see, he thinks it's still the year 1918 or 1914, something like that, isn't it? I mean, it's late onset of, well, robot dementia. Not at all pretty.
Well, I don't know what you're smoking in that pipe, man, but what's going on here? Will you drag me to some Transformer retirement home?
Mm-hmm.
Look, somebody better start talking or I'm out of here.
Whoa, 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 okay. Bumblebee, we only met when I was a little boy in short pants. I must have been that tall, maybe taller, or maybe shorter, I can't remember. Let's have a look at this thing. Please, very interesting. Yes. You keep a secret for so long, knowing it to be true, and yet deep down inside, you begin to wonder, has my life been wasted? Have you ever felt like that, Mr. Kane?
It's just Kate. Look, old timer, I don't have a ton of patience for riddles right now.
Yes, but you want to know, don't you, dude? Why they keep coming here to Earth. Right. Ah, I do so love perfect timing.
No, 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 literally, why do you have to be like that?
So is this a kidnapping sort of situation or her first Transformer experience?
It's both, really.
She's very difficult.
I felt good to get that rust off. Like, back on the podcast again. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
Knock that rust off.
Yeah. So, of course, now that we got the rust off, you know how we got to finish it, right? Top guys.
Out. I don't think that works on the audio too well.
Oh, no. We'll make it work.
Oh, Lord.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.